You're listening to The Taste Masters with your hosts, David and Wyatt.
Hey guys, got a special guest with us today. Wyatt and I brought one of my dearest friends, Josh Van Amstel. Josh, welcome to the show.
Nice to see everybody.
Josh, you and I met a few years ago in bartending, if you will, and it's in a way. I was your bartender. Actually, you know what? You tell me the story. How did you meet me? How did you meet me?
Graciously.
How did you become so lucky to meet me?
I paid about $50K to meet you.
See, that's a big time.
I mean, if you want to get down to the nitty-gritty of it. I went and booked out Sundance Resort for my wedding, and Jimmy just happened to, or David, just happened to be my bartender.
And you and your husband, that's where I met you and your husband. The now husband, I guess, right before I wasn't your husband, but then married up there, met your family. Fast forward, we got to know each other real well, and I found out that you used to be a bartender as well.
10 years.
And
wow,
bartender, where at?
A little bar in Austin, Texas called Bout Time.
And then what do you think about that? How was those years? And
how were those years? They were a bit of a blur. There was a lot of late nights and very late mornings turned into early afternoons.
I mean, that sounds like a life of a bartender, right? Typically.
Yeah, I think there's a lot of bartenders who live that way, for sure.
Yeah. So, Josh, tell us a little about yourself. Tell us, you used to be a health coach, still a health coach.
True, yeah.
And what do you do now?
My husband and I own a couple of fitness brands. Louis's taken off with one of his ideas to turn partner-free ballroom dancing into a format that strongly competes with Zumba. And then I've got my hands in everything right now, up to subcontracting and doing flooring to health coaching and, you know, playing around with stocks.
And a father.
Oh, twice over now. We skipped a few chapters in the parenting book, though. We didn't have kids traditionally. We decided to adopt both 10-year-old boys at the time. And now one's 11, the other one's 12.
Wow. That's beautiful.
That's cool.
Love them to death. They're my nephews, and I love them to death. You've met him, right, Wyatt?
I think briefly. Yeah.
So I'm glad we're all on the same page here. So I know.
Really? You have kids?
No, not yet.
Oh, okay.
Talk to the jalapeno. Don't talk to me.
But you've got like a dog, so it's the same thing, right?
No, I have a bidet. That's about the closest thing I have to something close, near and dear to my heart.
You definitely don't have to take that out very often.
So Joshua, I know you are a big fan of whiskey.
Yes, sir.
I know you and I. I remember when I lived in my second home. You brought over a bottle of bourbon because you said it was for a holiday night, but it was actually your bourbon to drink at my house whenever you came
over. Absolutely.
That's how you gift whiskey.
So you used to have this thing at your, back in Texas, where was it called a cabinet party, where people would bring whatever booze, because your cabinets were low stock.
My bar party.
Yeah, tell me about those.
Yeah, we'd occasionally, well, not so occasionally, it was pretty frequent actually, we drank a lot. We'd have parties called Stock My Bar parties. You bring a bottle for you and a bottle for me. The bottle for me stays and the bottle for you goes, and I get to choose between the two which one I'm keeping. So I'd prevent the people that wanted to bring, you know, super cheap rail alcohol to my house
and bottom shelf tequila
party. Oh yeah, Skol vodka or God forbid, right. UV.
Some Montezuma
tequila.
Yeah.
But I like that
bring
because
one bottle of silver and one bottle of gold.
Exactly. And you always choose the silver, not the gold, most times. Yeah. I like that. But then your bar became stocked after that.
Oh, yeah.
And that's it. I like that. That's a way we should do that, I think.
Yeah.
Come stock my bar. I like that. So I have something, White and I have something special for you. We have barreled aged beers. So we've gotten some local, a couple non-local. I want to see if, because you're not a huge beer drinker, right?
No. If I do, I like some darker stouts, but...
Right, because you're more of like a Helles or more of a, darker type of beer drinker. So this one, I have some stouts and some ales in front of us, and most of them have been, all of them have been barrel aged at some point. Wyatt has our first one, which I'm super excited for. It's out of Moab Brewery.
Yeah, the Scotch Ale. I think it's interesting. So I'm like a fan of whiskey as well. I don't drink a whole bunch of like hard liquor, but when I do, it's usually scotch or rye whiskey. But the process of making whiskey is very similar to the process of making beer. The process of making beer just kind of cuts short the process of making whiskey. You take malt and you then roast it and, you know, add your waters to get your wort, and then your wort you boil, and then in beer you add hops and put it in a fermenter. Whiskey, you then take it and distill it, but it's a pretty similar process. Doesn't take quite as long to make beer, because after you're done with all the work in whiskey, it sits in barrels for years.
For how long you want to sit in barrels. Yeah.
Well, I mean, one of the scotches we have in front of us is a Glenfiddich 15. So that's 15 years in barrels.
I am not patient to have something sit for 15 years. I couldn't do that.
We put it in there in 2005.
Time not making you any money.
Yeah. No kidding.
Well, you have to make yourself a name and then release all these labels, like 15, 20, 25, right? That's dedication right there. Yeah.
I think High West did it the right way, because like High West started with just like a bunch of interesting blends, you know? They would blend whiskeys from other places, but the whole time they were distilling and barreling their own whiskeys with the hopes of like still being open in 10 years or whatever. I mean, technically for a bourbon or rye whiskey to be released, it only has to be aged for like 2.5 years, and then you can release it. Most of them will age for a little bit longer if they have any sort of, you know, pride in their product, but depends on the distiller.
So this one, Attamora Brewery, go ahead and read us the label there.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah. So this is a Scotch Ale, also known as a Wee Heavy. So our Scotch Ale, or Wee Heavy, was included in the series to pay tribute to the hardy Scots who have enjoyed rich, full ale for centuries. This ale was traditionally made with malt dried in peat-fired ovens. This leaves a slightly smoky flavor, adding to the malt character. The Wee Heavy is made with fine two-row barley and a portion of smoked malt, English hops, pure Moab water, and Scottish yeast. It is aged on French oak and bottle-conditioned. Wee Heavy is a brown, ruby-rich color and has a sweet malt character. Store upright and serve 55 degrees to room temperature.
I think this is perfect for you because you are a Jeep driver, are you not, Josh?
I am, yeah.
So Moab is big on jeeping, and this has got that. What say they said? The water from Moab.
Yeah, yeah. They use Moab water. But I like that. It's peat fired, malt. So that's like, what kind of whiskey do you usually drink?
I'm a Delta flyer, so I prefer the Woodford Reserve. It's just such an easy,
gotcha,
some easy thing to drink.
You're about like the bourbons and stuff.
Yes.
Gotcha. Yeah. Cool. I tend to lean towards Scotch, and specifically the smokier Scotches, like Isle of Scotch, or what's the one from the Isle of Skye?
Oh, that's the one you showed.
Oh, shit. That one's super good.
We'll get back to that one.
I forget what it's called. We'll remember at some point and remind you. But they use a peat smoked malt to make their beer that they then use to make the whiskey, and it is makes for good whiskey.
So this should taste hopefully like your...
Hopefully it'll be a little bit smoky.
Scotch, yeah. So, I mean, off the color, like that ruby red, it's like a ruby red brown, if you will. I mean.
And almost a little bit of haze there.
And I like that. I love the color.
It's like a very dehydrated piss.
Yes. You go to the doctor, emergency room, if this is what you look like. But off the nose, Josh, what do you get off the nose?
Let me swallow first.
Interesting.
I love how long that head is lingering.
Like, still there.
Yeah.
They said they bottle conditioned pretty well, so I'm curious to know what they use to bottle condition.
When it sugar comes and
when
yeast.
It comes what yeast they use. I'm just curious.
Scottish yeast.
What Scottish yeast, I guess. Because look at that. I've never played with Scottish yeast, so I don't know. The retention on that is well.
I think that has a lot to do with the malt character they use as well. I don't know what makes head stay.
What do you think, Joshua?
I think it's got a nice sweet aroma to it.
I think this one, I was curious to see if this one, why I would like the most, because why it's a Scotch drinker. So I'm curious. To me, it has kind of like that, I don't know. It's almost coining to me.
Yeah, yeah. A little penny flavor.
Yeah.
Or hairspray.
Yeah.
Yeah. I've never really been a big fan of Scotch ales. And it's because the alcohol percentage is super blatant. Like there's no hiding the alcohol flavor. It's just like in this beer, it's a little bit smoky. I get some raisin flavors in there, which I think is nice, almost like a bran muffin kind of thing.
Okay.
And then it's just like sweet and just kind of like a little bit of alcohol burn. So it's not terrible. Like it's as good a Scotch ale as I've had, but I've never been one to be really lean towards the Scotch ales.
Yeah.
I don't get any burn, but I definitely taste the bran muffin now that you say it.
Wait, is this something enjoyable to you, Josh?
Well, it's palatable. It's not something that I would probably choose to sip on for the night.
I mean, I'm
not a big scotch drinker, though, so you've got to take that into consideration.
Yeah. Well, I don't think scotch ales, they don't really remind me of scotch whiskey that much. And I guess, like, if I really, like, wanted to draw some connections there, like, you could say, yeah, like, scotch whiskey usually starts sweet. Scotch ales usually start sweet. This one's smoky, and some scotches are smoky, but, like, I don't know. I don't tie as much, like, the things I like about scotch whiskey, I don't find in scotch ales. And the things I don't like about, like, heavier beers are all the things I find in scotch ales.
Hmm. What do you think about this one? Is this one you would get again?
No. But that's just because I'm not a heavier beer guy, right. You know?
Anything high ABV, you're not a huge fan of.
I'm like low ABV beer and scotch. That's what
like
I want to drink.
Table beer. Yeah. I got you. No, but this one, I just can't get over that, the lingering taste on my palate.
Pennies,
and it tastes like boggy, like swampy, if you will, like mossy, you know, that peat.
Peaty?
Right, peaty. And so that's what, because that peat, you know, so that's what, because when someone says peat, they have no idea what we're talking about.
Like, who's Pete?
Now, what's Pete? Pete's in here? Cool, good for you. But no, but if I'm remembering this correctly, Pete comes from bogs in Scotland, and they were mossy, right? That's peat. Like, that's what, was it the mineral, the nourishment that came off of the what do you call it?
It's called peat moss.
Peat moss, yeah. So that I get that, though. Like that, and I don't like it at all. I'm not a huge fan of it.
It's less of like the smoke and more of like just straight peat, unsmoked peat.
And it has smokiness to it. I think it would save it, but I don't get that smokiness that I wanted. I guess I was expecting like scotch smoking, like
Lafroy or something.
Hella, yeah. And I don't get that. And to me, it's like, not a fan.
Yeah, not my favorite beer, but scotch ales, like, man. Scotch ales, there's a certain kind of person who likes scotch ales, and I'm just not that person. Like the scotch ale is not a super palatable beer that like everyone's gonna like, you know what I mean? Like there are a lot of beers that like most people are just gonna be like, yeah, that's like generally agreeable, and scotch ales are usually not that beer. Like they are very like specific to a specific type of person, you know what I mean? Or a specific palate.
I feel like most distilleries now are trying to follow the trend and offer something that's a little fruitier, something that's going to be a little bit more hip. This isn't exactly something that you're going to serve to the hip crowd unless you are Austinite, hardcore hipster, or something that's, you know, I just want to be different and I want to reach out and have a ale that nobody else is going to be drinking.
Exactly. This is Scotch ale is the, if you're not in Scotland or Scottish, the Scotch ale is the ale for hipsters. Because it's the thing that no one else wants to drink.
I can see that. That makes a lot of sense because I don't want to drink this. So take all of it.
Yeah. Yeah. So, like, for all I know about Scotch ale, it could be a fantastic Scotch ale, but, like,
I haven't found one that I liked so far.
I'm not a Scotch ale guy.
Yeah. So, moving forward, Wyatt, we have four more in front of us. Which one should we go to? We have the Bourbon World. We have barley wine, which I'm curious to get into.
So, we've got a couple of stouts, and then we've got some barley wines. I mean, it's tough. We've got a lot of heavy beers. So I'm thinking barley wines next, just because the stouts, the roastiness of the stout is just going to be overpowering. But
I was hoping you'd say that.
Barley wines it is.
So which one? I say we do, yeah. So Epic and Uinta, Uinta and Kitos did a collaboration of their barley wine. This one's kind of a newer release.
Is that what you want to go with?
Let's do that one, yeah. So this one is their barley wine ale. And again, collaboration with Kitos. It's supposed to have that same kind of ruby red color. I'm kind of curious to see how this one's going to do. I haven't had this one. This one I've been looking forward to try. But barley wine hasn't really, I mean, it's, you don't really hear about barley wine a whole lot or barley wine beer. It looks the same color as a Scotch ale.
Looks a little lighter to me.
Less haze.
Less hazy. And just, man, beautiful, like lingering head. The other one's more brown.
Yeah, this has got a little more red-orange.
Yeah. Another one looks like a bran muffin.
Well, it tastes like a bran muffin.
With raisins.
I'm a sucker for that amber, like the amber color.
Yeah.
I love ambers. I feel like we can drink an amber any day of the week.
Do you know what the ABV on this is?
I do not know. Let me go ahead and look that one up. Wow. Is there anything on the bottle to read?
Yeah. So, collaboration brewed at Uinta Brewing Co. You know, it doesn't say keto on here anywhere. It says hops are low, malt is high, body is low, color is lowish.
Okay.
That's what it tells me.
So this one looks like it's 10.4 ABV.
Oh, there's the keto's emblem. 10.4. Fuck, 4. Barley wines. I've never really gotten into barley wines. They're always intimidating to me.
They are. But why are they intimidating to you?
Because they're all like 10% ABV high and point? Above. Yeah. And I've just never liked high point beers. And so I'm like, cool. Like the highest point beer, probably not going to like it. I've just been putting this in my brain for years. Like I'm
it
just
makes
probably
sense,
not going to like it.
On that one. So barley, I mean, why would you tell us about a little bit about barley? What's the significance of barley in beer?
You know, I don't know why barley is always used to make beer as opposed to other grains. It's really similar to like wheat or oats grow very similarly. Rye grows similarly. They're all like cereal grains.
Yeah.
Right. I don't know why it's always barley in beer as opposed to, you know, wheat or rye or. I mean, you see wheat beers and rye beers and stuff, but I don't know why it's usually barley.
I don't. Have you been a fan of barley?
In beer?
In general.
Yeah. I love it in beer.
Would you ever eat it outside of beer?
I made bread with it.
Yeah?
Yeah. It wasn't my favorite to make bread with, but I like it more than wheat to make bread.
Oh, that's good to know. Yeah. I feel like barley has a little bit of spiciness to it, if you will. Like more heartier.
Yeah, definitely heartier. Whenever I made bread with it, I liked it more than wheat because it just was like, man, I always felt like the bread was more like dense.
Okay.
You know
hearty.
What I mean? Yeah, it was hearty. It was hearty bread. I liked it.
So have you tried this one? Have you smelled this one yet, Joshua?
Yeah. It's heavy on the hops.
And are you a hop fan at all?
I am. Yeah. There's a lot of German beers and things out there that are heavy on the hops that I'll enjoy at Oktoberfest.
And this one
compares. I'm a fan. I'm not disappointed. It's got a nice malt taste to it.
It does. It has a better one. It has a better malt taste than the Moab in my palate. More of the smokiness that I wanted from the last one. I didn't get that smokiness. Like the very end, I get subtle smokiness at the very end.
Yeah, you don't get it indefinitely until the end, though.
Yeah, but I think maybe the high ABV is what kind of pushes that forward for me, though.
Yeah. It's definitely a little bit more palatable than the Scotch Ale.
I feel like I could knock one or two of these back pretty easily.
Yeah.
The Scotch Ale I might have been nursing for a longer period of time.
Right. I think I would struggle to finish the whole bottle myself, but
I think
like...
so. Definitely a sipping beer.
Yeah. Oh, definitely.
I think most of these will be sipping beers today. But for me, this one, that sweet... That malt characteristic is sweet. This one to me is sweeter than the other one.
Hmm.
For me, anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah, I would take this one over that peat. I don't like that peaty taste.
There's an interesting bitterness to it, and it tastes a lot more like raw cereal grains. Like, if you ever chewed on, like, a roasted, piece of malt or something, or, like, had, like, oatmeal. Like, it's kind of got more of, like, just, like, a raw cereal grain kind of flavor
to it.
It
tells us a lot about your college years, I think, if you're just eating raw oatmeal.
Not raw oatmeal, like, cooked oatmeal.
Oh, okay. Right.
I can see where you're getting with that.
who eats raw oatmeal?
You're the one talking about eating raw cereal grains over here.
Okay, well, like, if you've ever, like, been in a brewery, like every time you take a brewery tour, I feel like the brewmaster is like, here's some of the barley that's been roasted. Right. Taste it. And so, like, you taste a couple. And that's, like, this is what it tastes like. This tastes like just super basic cereals. It's like, let's take some basic beer ingredients and make the heaviest beer possible.
Yeah. And that's what I don't know. This one, I go back and forth. I think every other sip I take of this, I'm like, I like this. And I'm like, wait a second. I'm trying to figure it out. I can't nail what's going on. I like the experience I'm getting with this one.
Yeah.
But again, sipping, easy, not bad. It's not wrecking my palate. And I could go for another one if I could make it through this one.
I'm surprised at how drinkable it is.
Mine's already gone.
So I say, since we're still on the barley, We have the one in Epic, which I've been looking forward to. This one's award-winning, the Epic Brewery. Wyatt, go ahead and open this one up for us, if you would, please. And while you're opening that, Joshua, least favorite beer of all time?
Ooh. Keystone.
Keystone, why?
Or McGolden Light. Because those are just, they remind me of a very low income portion of my life.
Okay.
Where in order to get a cheap drink, you were buying dollar drafts at the local dive bar.
Dollar drafts.
Texas is crazy, you guys.
Like, send me that way. Dollar drafts. How was it bartending in Texas?
I had a really unique experience. I worked in a neighborhood bar. We like to consider ourselves a big boy nightclub, but really, I just had the same customers day in, day out, 5 days out of the week.
That's good, though. You had regulars, which
I had
you
some
thrive off regulars.
Awesome regulars. Yeah, I made some really good money, but it was those regulars that I had that beer, that, you know, Crown and Coke or whatever, sitting at their seat before they managed to walk
before
through the door.
Before they sit down, yeah.
So
it... Correct me if I'm wrong. Did you meet your husband in a bar?
I did. Yeah. No, I wasn't. I wasn't bartending though. I moved a really good friend of mine from Austin all the way to West Hollywood. And the one night that I was in town, actually, I wasn't even there for 12 hours. I told him he owed me a drink, and that was going to be that. I was on a flight out, and the next morning at like 8 a.m. So we went out bar hopping in West Hollywood, and I managed to run into him there. We exchanged phone numbers after a couple of turn downs, and
so correct me if I'm wrong, you turned down Louis.
Oh, absolutely, yeah.
And Louis didn't, I mean, he was
Louis going... didn't take no for an answer, but that's my husband.
Sounds like our Louis.
I was gonna say, if you know anything about him, if you've met him, he doesn't take no for an answer by pretty much anybody but me anymore. So
there you go.
He pursued pretty heavily, and I felt gross. I hadn't showered. I felt like I stunk.
He just helped move someone.
Yeah, I'm saying I looked like, you know, haggard shit. And, well, I don't know. We ended up switching numbers, and here we are, gosh, 12 years later, married with kids. And
the whole shebang.
All of it. A mortgage, dog.
No bidet.
A few dogs. Not yet.
Keyword yet.
That's on my Christmas list, though.
I showed Louis this last weekend about the bidet, and his eyebrows went up. So we'll see.
Well, it's not like he's a novice to the bidet. I mean, they use them everywhere in Europe.
So Louis is from Holland, FYI.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Right. I remember him talking at the Dia de los Muertos party.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. And talking to Ariana, my wife, I was like, I'll bet that guy's from Holland.
Oh, absolutely.
He had the Holland accent.
He couldn't get more Dutch if he tried.
Yeah.
I love it. But if you're not Dutch, you ain't much. Is that what his mom says?
That's definitely, yeah. She's expressed her disdain for him marrying American a few times with me.
Wow. We love her to death, though. She's an amazing woman.
Yeah.
So let's go on this Epic. We have the Whiskey Barreled Aged Barley Wine from Epic. This one's award-winning. This one's spent aging in select whiskey barrels. With flavors of this one's supposed to have flavors of dry fruit, cherry, vanilla, and toasted oak. So it's supposed to be best enjoyed in a snifter, which I wish we had, but we don't.
These are some pretty classy high dollar.
These are classy cups we have today. But off the nose, guys, what are you guys getting? I just get hella ABV, but.
That one's harder to, I don't know, harder to place.
Why, can you pick this one out at all?
A lot of, like, basic cereals. The last one, like, was super basic cereals. This one is maybe a little bit roastier, but still just kind of basic cereals. Like, it actually reminds me on the nose of, like, brown ales.
Do you get sweetness on it?
Yeah, but I'm trying to place what that sweetness is from.
You can't smell sweetness, but what's giving off that sweetness? I feel like there's something that I can't put my...
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know what's causing that sweetness, but there's definite, like, something. I want to say honey, but, like, it feels wrong. A little more roasty, and just, wow. Like, have you ever bitten into, like, a plum that, you know, might be a little overripe?
Yeah.
And it's, like, not, super, like, bitter, kind of, and super tart.
Uh-huh.
Like, that's kind of what this reminds me of. Like, plum skin.
See, I'm tasting caramel notes. It's a little smoother, but it's warm. The others weren't warm, in my opinion. This one's definitely got a warm finish.
Hmm. I get chocolate at the end.
Like some dark chocolate?
Mm-hmm. At the very end, we're talking like it's past your palate, it's settled, and then I get just chocolate. It's not like overbearing chocolate, but it's there.
No, it's definitely there. Like a 78% cacao.
For me, it kind of saves this for me. I mean, not that it's a bad beer. I'm drinking it because, I mean, we're trying it. It's one of those like sipping. It's a definitely sipping beer. Can't throw it. It's a big ass bottle. What's the size on this one, Wyatt? Is this a?
I think it's a pint bottle.
Full pint?
One pint plus another 6 ounces.
So, I mean, that's 22 a lot of beer, ounces. You know, for a barreled age. But this one's supposed to be a barley wine. It seems similar to the Yuen Taquitos one. I get similarities between it.
Yeah, it's definitely darker, a little more roasty. And there's a lot more going on in this than in the Yuen Taquitos one. The Yuen Taquitos one was like drinkable, but it was super basic. This one is a lot more complex, but way less drinkable in my mind.
This one, do you think this one more balanced?
No.
You think the other one's more balanced?
This one has like initial sweetness, and then it comes through with a lot of bitterness. And I don't know. I'm not a fan. Like, I don't think it's balanced.
Gotcha. You think the other one's more balanced?
It's like two fat kids on a teeter-totter. Like,
just can't quite get over.
Yeah.
I'm. What about just Joshua? Are you enjoying this one at all?
You know, it's not one that I'm gonna be picking up again. I think that it was a good for a taste run, but
yeah,
it's not something like you said. It's not super palatable. I'm not gonna want to drink the whole beer to begin with, and by the end of, at the bottom when it gets super hot, it's not gonna be something that's enjoyable.
That's true. So I feel like. So far, when it comes to the beers we've drank so far, we've been kind of a hit and miss with you on this one, Josh. I feel like these haven't really aha'd you.
We're saving the stouts for the last.
Right. And I'm a stout guy. White is a brown, amber, more.
I love stouts.
You love stouts, but I feel like we're more darker.
Like an Irish stout kind of guy, though.
And so, White, what are you opening us next?
Dragon's Milk. I've seen this one in the liquor store a lot, and I always wanted to buy it because it's the Dragon's Milk aged stout, bourbon barrel aged stout. The only reason I haven't is because it's bourbon and I've just never been a fan of bourbon, but like the bottle's cool and
see,
it's like black and white with a dragon on it.
And the marketing would sway me not to buy it. It kind of looks
that?
Cheap.
Aren't you a Game of Thrones
cheesy.
Fan?
I am. Oh, it's super cheesy. No, I love Game of Thrones. I loved the
first
the
seven
series
seasons.
And things. but I don't know. The Dragon's Milk just kind of gives off a little bit of a strange vibe. Like, I don't want to be suckling up to a dragon's nipple anytime soon.
See, and I feel like it's a crime that we're not playing D&D while we drink this.
I can see that. So the Dragon's Milk is based out of Holland, Michigan. Oh, interesting.
Maybe this is going to be my favorite.
This one might
I do
be
like
a,
Dutch things.
You are the Dutch things. But why have you ever had anything from New Holland Brewing Company?
If I do, I don't remember.
I'm not at all. Is there anything on the bottle on this one?
There's a dragon.
It's a big white
any
dragon.
Any descriptions?
Yeah, it says roasted, malty, smooth.
Wow. Simple, straightforward.
That's
get after it.
So this one, on the website they have, it's roasted malt delivers notes of coffee and chocolate married with sweet undertones of vanilla oak from a 3 month stay in bourbon barrels. They don't specify where they got the bourbon barrels, but
I feel like if you're mass producing something like Dragon's Milk, You can't be picky about where you're getting your bourbon barrels.
Yeah. I guess we are spoiled
here. I don't
think
the dragons mind either.
Yeah.
I think we're spoiled here because we have great distilleries around the area. So you can kind of pick like, you know, Alpine, High West, whatnot. Yeah. But
and we have such small breweries that like they don't need just any bourbon barrels they can get their hands on. They can kind of be more particular about.
And that's kind of a cool thing in the craft beer world because you can pick and choose and be very particular in that. I like that.
Did you say this one had coffee notes in it?
According to the website, yes.
I'm picking that up immediately by send.
I love the nose.
Yeah. Big, big full body.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, it's black as night.
It's like the texture of chocolate milk.
How was it pouring it out? It was very viscous on that one?
I mean, like, it wasn't chunky. Poured pretty smooth, but like it seemed fuller than if you were pouring like a PBR.
You know, I'm gonna have to retract my previous statement. I might be suckling up to a nipple on a dragon pretty soon.
If this
way,
is
this is all
fucking dragon's
all of them taste.
So you guys, Josh, you're enjoying this one then?
Oh yeah, I think this is a good one.
So which one did you like the best? I mean, in this one, what do you like the best about this specific beer?
Probably the spice. It's got a little bit of like chai, something spicy
yeah,
to it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Would you put chai?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because I mean, chai is like what? Like nutmeg and black pepper and ginger and... Yeah, like a chai kind of spice, for sure. I didn't notice that until you pointed out.
It's like a wintry beer. This is a good one for like
good time.
Skiing or picking up on the mountain.
Yeah. You get cold, you just kind of like, you know, suckle up to a dragon. That'll keep you nice and warm.
Snuggle up to a dragon's nipple and drink one of these?
Yeah.
I'm okay with that.
That's how you stay warm, dude. Dragons are, I mean, they're breathing fire. It's not like they're cold creatures.
Warm-blooded if they're breathing fire. Hot-blooded, I guess, right? Yeah.
I think it might be a little oaky. That's the only thing that would make me say, yeah, this is barrel aged, is it's kind of like there's a little oak character to it. And then I don't know, like the texture of it makes me think that it is old, but like a barrel aged beer is going to be old.
Yeah. So why is this one your favorite one so far?
Oh, definitely. By far. I mean, this is 11% ABV, and I actually really enjoy this.
That's good.
Pretty rare.
That's for a high ABV, and you're enjoying this one?
Yeah, yeah.
Not bad at all. So I think we should go to our last one, which this one I just saw, and I had to grab it because I like Wild Turkey. I like making drinks with Wild Turkey. Josh, are you a fan of Wild Turkey at all?
In certain drinks, I can handle it. It's not one that I would want to drink just by itself.
Not just straight up?
No.
I think it's a good cocktail whiskey for sure.
It's got its following and its people. I definitely served a lot of Wild Turkey in my day, especially being in Texas with a two-finger pour, but it just wasn't something that I enjoyed.
Yeah, it's a great thing to like mix with Coke or like maybe sour mix, I guess.
Something that's going to take a little bit of the edge off for you.
Right, so one of my new old-fashioned recipes, I've been using Wild Turkey in it. And it gives it this, that honey.
You've been using the honey Wild Turkey, though, right?
The honey Wild Turkey, excuse me. Yeah, honey Wild Turkey, yeah. And I guess I'll retract my statement from earlier. But the Wild Turkey, man, honey Wild Turkey, I like because that honey, I like that sweetness it gives off. I guess I'm a sucker for sweeter bourbons, if you will. Kind of, for me, it helps balance out that kind of, I guess I'm not huge whiskey scotch drinker. Just,
you know, I don't know. A lot of whiskey and bourbons that want to steer towards the sweet side can make me a little nauseous. So there's definitely like a line that most of them like to walk, but plenty of them, you know, far exceed the sweetness for me. And it's almost too much of a syrup.
Yeah.
So
that's why I don't like bourbon. It's because it all seems so just cloying sweet.
I think you and White are on the same page when it comes to drinking whiskeys. It seems like you both have the same palate today, and I like that.
I definitely enjoyed, I think, just for the simple fact that I like peanut butter, your peanut butter whiskey the other day.
Oh, yeah. Sure, I brought peanut butter whiskey, the Screwball.
But it isn't something I think that I would keep... just sitting in the house for, you know, like a nightcap. Well, maybe it would sit in my house for years. But
you'd be drinking it every night,
you know,
kind of
just
thing.
A little nightcap is right. Not going to be what I reach for.
This beer is so over carbonated.
Is it not?
Like I popped the top and it overflowed everywhere. And then I poured, we got like a half an inch in the glass and it's...
2 inches of head.
Yeah. And like, I've practiced pouring beer a little bit. Here
this
and there.
This isn't my first time.
Yeah, this isn't my first beer I've poured, but like, it's not pouring well.
So this one, Anderson Valley from Boonville, California, they aged this for 6 months in bourbon barrels. It's their stout, and they have used Chinook and Northern Brewery hops, the malts, pale, two-row, crystal, roasted barley, Munich, chocolate, and oats. So I'm curious to see if you guys like this one at all.
Ooh, there's oats in it.
I wonder, is this packaged for tap? I mean, I wonder if on tap it would pour any better than it does right out of the bottle.
I mean, if they can pour, it's 6.9% ABV, so if somewhere outside of Utah can pour that, I see why not. But extremely dark.
The last beer, Dragon's Milk, would be so good out of a cask, or like a firkin, or on nitro.
I think nitro would be amazing.
Man. Not a fan of nitro?
No, I love it. Ugh. No, that was a
that head is still
sound.
There, Wyatt.
Yeah, dude, it's staying forever.
Yeah, if it is super dark.
Yeah.
I wonder what the SRM on that one is. Just, it's nightshade dark.
Like 77.
99. But you guys get a chance to taste it at all? Can you?
I don't know if I'll be able to taste anything after the last beer.
I don't know if I can
beer.
Smell it through the head to begin with.
Yeah.
So they use Wild Turkey bourbon barrels, right, to distill this. That's why it's the Wild Turkey.
It's carbonated like Coca-Cola or something. Like, it's so carbonated.
It's very carbonated.
Kind of tastes like an oatmeal stout.
It's way more smooth than I thought it'd be.
Yeah. It's over-carbonated, but other than that, I think it's pretty good.
I think I like this one better than the Dragon's Milk.
I think I do too, actually.
Screw you guys. Dragon's Milk is way better.
But I thought the Dragon's Milk was my favorite because of that chocolateness I got with it. But I think I like this one. This one's got like a... it'll come to me.
There's definitely hints of vanilla.
Is it vanilla?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah, vanilla for sure. I wonder if that's from the... from the Wild Turkey, because I know bourbon is supposed to have like bourbon as a style of whiskey is supposed to have like vanilla flavors, right?
Yeah, hints or notes of it.
I haven't had Wild Turkey in so long, but like, is there vanilla notes in Wild Turkey? And if there is, do you think it would transfer to the beer? Because definite vanilla notes, or do you think they just added vanilla?
No, I definitely think you're probably right, because a lot of Wild Turkey does have a little bit of a sweet vanilla underlying note to it, so it probably is just coming from the barrel. I don't think it's overpowering like they added vanilla to it at all. I feel like this one makes me want to like have some bread. It's got like some warmer, fresh out of the oven taste.
Yeah.
Like baked bread, you will?
I think this would be all right with like a Thanksgiving dinner.
Oh, yeah.
And honestly, it's all the carbonation in there that makes me say that. Like, the flavor is good. It's not overpowering, but, like, there's so much carbonation that I think it could go with, like, a diversified meal with, like, you know, you've got turkey and the mashed potatoes and gravy, and, like, the carbonation would really clean out the mashed potatoes and gravy, and then you'd still have enough beer left over that I think it would go well with, like, a pumpkin pie or something like that. And I don't even fucking like pumpkin pie, but if it was served with this beer, I might like it.
Might dip my pumpkin pie in this beer.
There you go.
I get like, I can't name it, but it's like a stone fruit.
Avocado.
No.
What's a stone fruit?
Anything with a big pit in it or a pit in it.
Oh, got it.
Cherry?
Yeah, I could see cherry.
At the very end, you guys get like a fruitiness to it, like just.
Coconut?
Yeah, but not like an overly sweet fruit.
I think
you're right. Like a darker cherry or something. Yeah, tart.
Because you guys said pie, and I was thinking pie. So I'm like, oh, pie. And cherry pie came to mind. Like tartness at the very end.
Yeah, okay, yeah. Apricots? Peaches?
I guess my palate is not on today. Yeah, I get like I won't say cherry, now that you're saying that. I mean, you could say fruity pebbles, and I'd taste fruity pebbles at this point, but... Yeah, cherry. But so I think this one.
I think it's like the cocoa pebble. It's not the fruity pebble.
But this one, not bad. I enjoyed this one. I think this one was my favorite one, the Anderson Valley.
This one has a lower ABV too, though, right?
It was 6.7.
Yeah, 6.9.
Than the rest of them that we've had.
This one I could have one or two of. The other ones are just kind of, in my mind, palate records, except for the Dragon's Milk. I think the stouts were my favorite.
Yeah, definitely, definitely. The Uinta barley wine wasn't bad.
No, but that one's more fresh than I think the other ones were.
Overall, I don't think I would drink any of these ever again.
Well, what do you think? Josh, you being a bourbon drinker, I know you like your bourbon and your wines. What do you think about your experience drinking these today?
Well, I'm a fan of Dragons. That's not a surprise here, I guess, just given the fact that it's a bourbon barrel-aged stout. And then from there, the Anderson Mill, I'm really leaning towards the bourbon instead of the whiskey or the
The Scottish ale.
Yeah, definitely not the Scottish ale. It's not ringing my palate.
I think all three of us did not like the Scottish ale.
No. It's not necessarily because it's a bad beer. It's just we're not Scottish ale people.
But you're a Scotch fan.
Yeah, but Scotch ales and but Scotch
did you
are
get? I mean, did you get any
different
similarities in, at all? I was just curious. The reason why I brought the Scotch is to see if, like, I don't know, maybe.
I mean, we could try them side by side if you want.
Absolutely not. I got to drive home at one point. But I was just thinking maybe you'd find something in it that would pop that you think, nah.
No.
But that's why I was kind of curious to see what you would think about it.
I've tried several Scotch ales with the hope that, like, oh, man, I like Scotch.
Right.
And then just, no.
Yeah, they're interesting.
Yeah.
It's good to know going
they're,
forward.
They're different.
What's
they're very different,
in it, though, for you?
So, I mean, I guess I've... They're very, like, sweet, and then... I guess, like, so when I think about Scotch, like, my favorite Scotch is Lagavulin, right? And it's sweet and then smoky, and the smoke kind of tastes like, you know, some people say burnt tire. I think almost like a peanut butter kind of thing. And then there's a little bit of, like, nutty kind of flavors in there outside of peanut butter that comes from the malt. And Scotch ales are just, like, just sweet, but like a medicine. Like, it tastes like... It's similar to Scotch whiskey, but if you made like Scotch whiskey flavored medicine.
Okay.
And that's what Scotch ale kind of tastes like to me. It's just sweet, and there's like this weird kind of cloying bitterness to it. And then the alcohol flavor comes through, but not in a way that I like. Like, it's less like in Scotch, you've got a definite alcohol flavor, right? But it doesn't taste like ethanol. And in like Scotch whiskeys, it's usually like an ethanol.
It's not rubbing alcohol.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah, I think gotcha. That's the issue with most of my flavored bourbons that I have. I don't lean towards the sweet where it feels like yeah. you're drinking just straight cough syrup.
Yeah.
You know, whether that be vanilla or cherry or peanut butter or whatever
cinnamon,
that they've thrown in there.
Apple, do all of them.
How people drink Fireball or anything
Dude,
close
can I just
to something
throw
like
in
that.
Here? Just... Gonna... Some people I know might be upset, but like Porter's Fire? Fucking cinnamon flavored medicine.
No, thank you.
Yeah. Or like the peach. I've seen people do shots of peach whiskey. I'm like, you guys are disgusting. Like, go drink some.
But I feel like that's become Americanized.
It is super
the
Americanized.
The flavored whiskey is Americanized. It's
we can't
it's our way of taking something traditional or, you know, authentic art and making it kind of like, this is going to sound weird, but high fructose corn syrup. Just like make it sweet. Make it hella sweet over the top.
Yeah.
Well, but see, I think the quality stands the test of time, and the reason I say that is my dad loves sweet whiskey. He'll buy anything with a label, label name, and then, you know, plus such and such. So
right.
He's got everything from Crown Apple to Pecan Pie and all sorts of different stuff sitting in the bottom of his cabinet. When I go, I've got either a Knob Creek or a High West or something sitting in there for me. You're not exclusive to the I've got a bourbon bottle sitting at somebody else's house club. But here this last visit, I went home to find my bottle was gone, and it was replaced with like about a half a dozen different types of like syrupy, gross bourbons.
Gotcha.
And I asked him what happened to it. He was like, well, I just couldn't handle the sweet every time. And I'm like, well, buy your own whiskey. You know, you don't need to be drinking mine, but what are you wasting your money on this stuff for?
Yeah. Well, that's good. I'm glad why you and Josh have kind of opened my mind and eye to like whiskey, like good traditional hearty whiskey. You know, not hearty, that's a bad word for it. But you guys, I like
put some hair on your chest.
Yeah, you guys are way manlier than I am. You guys have way more hair than I do. I just have mine on top. But you guys are more manlier than I am, right? When it comes to whiskey drinking, because I like the kind of the sugary ones. Like you guys are sitting here, Al, you guys like the traditional kind of like state of the art ones. And I'm sitting here going, well, Porter's Fire sounds good to me. I wouldn't mind some Crown and Apple. But then I'm thinking about it, I'm like, but that is sugary.
Yeah.
I shouldn't like that. Like, in my mind, I'm like, why do I like that? It's because I can't, I guess I haven't sat there and kind of appreciated.
Yeah.
And why it's been.
It's easy. It's super,
it's
basic. Yeah.
In a way.
It's like, let's get drunk.
Yeah. And so when
and
I
like,
sit
you get
here,
drunk off other
because
stuff.
Because people
but.
Forgot, you know, you look at like James Bond kind of thing, or like the classical English or European. They're, you said nightcap. You said this a couple times, Josh, nightcap. You just want something just to sip on, to drink, and go to bed. It's not like a, let's shoot this real quick. Let's just get fucked up. And I think that's the misconnect I have with you guys is because, I have kind of an aha this episode. I go, I guess my palate isn't as, and not even near as defined traditionally wise as you guys is. Like in my mind. It's like, oh, you guys have, I feel like you guys have more of a state of the art, like you guys get it when it comes to like just, you know, test of time, kind of like.
Yeah. I think in my experience of bartending in the last 10 years, there are two types of customers. The type of customer that's going to come in and gets just absolutely schmammied on whatever sweet thing that they can get their hands right on. And then there's the type of customer that, like me, who will go in, I might order one drink, but I'm going to sip on that for the majority of the night.
Enjoy it.
I'm going to keep my buzz, you know, at a very perfect, moderate level. I'm going to be able to drive myself home and I'm going to be responsible about it. I'm also going to tip my bartender $20 and tell him to keep me full.
Yeah.
Whether that's one or two, you know, glasses a night, that's still a pretty good markup for him.
I also think that you guys have more of a good taste for liquor. And I feel like I'm kind of specifically trying for craft beer right now. That's what I'm focusing on. But I feel like you guys have a better grasp on the liquor. And I know Wyatt has given me multiple scotches and even tequilas, whiskeys, that he's like, here, try this. Like, you need to try to get your palate behind this one. And I sit there in the first step, I'm like, what the hell? Oh. And once Wyatt kind of explains, it's like, oh, I get this. And so Wyatt, I guess I'm trying to say thank you for like, help me understand that, help my palate out. And Josh, thanks for showing the appreciation you did for this today, because I don't know if you guys learned anything this episode, but I sure as hell did. And Josh, I'm glad you showed up today and shared an hour of your day, your busy life here with Wyatt and I today. I hope you will be able to come with us again. We'll have another great episode for you.
Anytime.
We'll think of something.
I think we could do some hoppy beers. Because you said you like hops. I'd like to explore some IPAs with you.
I want to try to just do straight beer with you next time, if that's all right. And just play through palate and beer and see if I can.
That's cool. We don't need you to enjoy hoppy beers. I know. I mean, like, we can go out.
You and Wyatt could go to the next one, I guess. I'm okay with that. But Wyatt, do you got anything for this one?
No, I guess, like, take your time. Like, finding the quality in things isn't always easy. You know, like, it's not always, like, super easy to pick up a glass of scotch or a bottle of scotch and find everything good in there. Like, it takes a little bit of effort. It takes a little bit of effort, like, to really enjoy things that have some quality in them sometimes, you know? But, like, once you find it, then it becomes easier and easier. Like, put in a little bit of effort instead of just, like, taking the cop out and, you know, drinking what's easy, but it'll get you, like, schmammied. Like enjoy something. Like, to me, drinking something that's quality is a more lasting kind of like enjoyment than just like getting fucked up and then the next day I've got a hangover. Whereas like I can enjoy a glass of scotch or two glasses of scotch, not get fucked up and still enjoy my night. And then I can do it again the next night if I want without fucking killing myself, you know? Don't have a shitty hangover.
I think just to speak to what Wyatt was saying, you know, like there's so many people out there that are looking to just get a quick, cheap drunk. But from a health point, or a health coach's point of view, I think you could do yourself a favor by looking at your diet already. A lot of those people aren't buying organic. They're not buying things that aren't heavily processed, that probably isn't freeze dried, or highly processed in a lot of different, you know, salts or sugars and things like that. So I'm on the side of eating a little bit healthier, a little bit more organic, and a little bit more raw and natural. And I think that's helped me personally be able to pick out some of the notes, like you've said, either in whiskey or within this bourbon barrel aged dragon's milk. I think that my palate is a little cleaner in that sense. So
yeah,
it's
that makes a lot of sense.
Like, I mean, enjoying what you drink will help you cut back on how much you drink. Like I know from the days where I drank a lot to now, like when I was drinking a lot, it was whatever cheap shit. Let's do shots of fucking Jack Daniels or, you know, like cheap tequila. Like, you know what I mean? Like it was sweeter stuff and cheap beer. Like, let's just drink whatever's the cheapest stuff. But now, especially like keeping an eye on my health and trying to be like pushing my fitness forward as much as I can. There isn't as much room for alcohol, but like maybe I still want to enjoy a drink. And so I'm going to maybe spend a little bit more money on something, but then I'm not going to, whereas like before I would buy a bottle of Jack Daniels and me and a couple friends would finish the bottle. Now I buy a bottle of whiskey and a month and a half later, I still have the same bottle of whiskey, you know, like, like it's cut back. I'm still enjoying drinking, but it's cut back so much on how much I actually drink. And it's like a very sustainable.
You can enjoy eating.
Yeah.
But you don't have to overindulge and do this processed bullshit.
And sugar ruins your palate. Like if you're drinking, you know, 32 ounces of your Coke that you're getting from sipping with your sugar cookie and a bunch of sweeteners added, vanilla flavors and fucking cherry. I don't know what people add to their drinks at that place, but like that ruins your palate. Like you can't appreciate other flavors because like that sugar has just kind of dominated your palate so much. Like if you eat a well-balanced, you know, diet with raw ingredients, like Josh was saying, like you're going to be able to appreciate more of what you have in front of you. Like you can eat Brussels sprouts and fucking enjoy them. They don't have to be, it doesn't have to be a punishment. Instead of eating, you know, like going to Little Caesars and eating your $5 pizza, like you could have a well-balanced meal, but it takes a little
ramen noodles.
Yeah. Or like your ramen noodles or whatever. Like if you take a little bit of time, like I promise you, you'll appreciate it a lot more. You know, like you don't appreciate the easy stuff. You appreciate the stuff you have to work for. Yeah. You appreciate the stuff you have to put in effort for.
I like that.
So like taking your time with everything you do, foods, drinks, all of it, you're going to appreciate it. You're going to have a lot more fulfilling life.
There's something to be said about those who drink just to drink. And then there's those that don't want our name to be known at the local grocery store or liquor store. Here in Utah, it's liquor stores. I don't want you seeing me buying the same bottle every week. I want you seeing me buying a bottle, you know. If you see me at all, once, you know, more than once, it better be spaced out and it better be buying something that's worth value and not like you said, the cheap Jack Daniels that I can smash in a night and not enjoy.
Yeah. Right. And then you're hungover the next day and you feel like
your
shit.
Decisions, yeah.
You don't want to work out. You don't want to eat healthy. You just want to like get it to go away. And so you have a cold beer because that's how you kill a hangover. Yeah. And then it just starts again. And you're like, well, I had another beer. And if I stop drinking, I'm going to have another hangover. And so you have to keep drinking. And then you get drunk.
At some
and then,
point.
Yeah. Like, take care of yourself. Yeah. It's a little bit harder, but like
a good lesson for everyone.
Yeah.
Outside. I mean, this is just going over beer right now. And this is like life lessons, I guess, where you can use health lessons. And Josh, you're a health coach. Wyatt, you're hell into fitness and you're really good and you're really in tune to your body. And I love that you guys are both here. And like, I think this is good for our listeners. Like, take care of yourself. I mean, it's good for us and for me, like take care of yourself and appreciate the quality in everything, in every aspect of your life.
Slow down and take the time to enjoy it.
Yeah.
Thank you, Josh.
One life right now and just kind of go with it. But thanks again, Josh, Wyatt. Beautiful today. Thank you for sharing your time with us today.
Thanks for having us.
And I think we'll end this episode on that one. But until the next Beverage Bros.
This has been another episode of The Tastemasters. You can find us on Instagram at @the_Tastemasters, on Twitter at The Tastemasters, and on Facebook as The Tastemasters. Like, share, subscribe, leave us a review, tell your friends, and thanks for listening.
Produced and recorded at Fuse Audio. Give them a follow at Fuse_Audio.